from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, gentlemen, let's go out to one of our favorites. That's Jonathan Mayo. He covers prospects for MLB.com, MLBpipeline.com, and does a fabulous job of it. Jonathan, thanks for joining us. You're on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Did the Pirates get significantly better with their ads, primarily Kiner Falefa and De La Cruz?
I don't know what the definition of significant is. I think they upgraded in places that they needed to without, you know, raiding the cupboard, the prospect cupboard too dramatically. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, they probably, I don't know what the asking price may have been for some of the larger ticket bats that, you know, had been discussed or even some of the high end pitchers, but I don't know that the Pirates would have been in on that. And the price was too high. So, you know, they were able to keep their elite level prospects and make their big league roster better at the same time.
Are there a couple or any of the guys that they gave away? You know, I mean, obviously all we can do is read prospect ranking lists and try and guess. Are any of those guys that, you know, have the kind of ranking or grading that, you know, that they may become legitimate major leaguers?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of them will become legitimate major leaguers. They didn't trade anyone who I think is in that camp of, oh, 5 years from now, they're going to regret the day that they let him go. But, you know, like Patrick Riley, who they traded to the Orioles, has a big arm, but he probably ends up in the bullpen when all is said and done. Charles McAdoo, you know, has already exceeded expectations as a 13th rounder from last year's draft. I think he can hit a little bit, but maybe he's probably a fourth outfielder. I mean, yeah, he may be a little bit better than that when all is said and done. But I think in most of the instances when the Pirates sent prospects away, they were taking guys who they kind of found, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but like late round picks or small dollar figure international signees like Luis Peralta. They traded to the Rockies to bring in big league pieces. So I don't think you're going to look back and say like, oh boy, that guy ended up being a superstar 5-6 years down the road. Although, you know, I've been doing this long enough to never say never.
Jonathan, one thing on McAdoo, a lot of people like to think that maybe he caught lightning in a bottle, or maybe he was a guy who was one of the fastest risers in the system. I know your re-rank is coming out soon. Where would he have been in the updated Pirates top 30 rankings, and why should people be okay with the Pirates giving him up in this deal for Kiner Falefa?
he was going to jump. I think I had him at, 28? You know, and those lists are done preseason, and he was added on as the, at some point when they needed a replacement. He was going to jump up to about 12. And that's about where he is on the Blue Jays list, somewhere in that top 15 range. So he obviously was making a substantial jump, put up very big numbers in Greensboro, which you take with a grain of salt because Greensboro is a great place to hit. But his splits were good. The underlying stuff was good. And he was holding his own in Double A. So, like I said, he has a chance to be a solid player. But, I don't think he's the kind of guy that you refuse to trade. And listen, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is what he is, but he's a solid big leaguer and can help out in a number of infield positions. I mean, he's played everywhere. Short term, assuming he comes back healthy, if there's still the need at second base because of the injuries here in Pittsburgh, then he plugs in that hole right away. But he can play any infield position. He was drafted as a catcher. He's played the outfield. I mean, you could really play him anywhere. So he's a good major league player, and they have him under control for another year. So trading Charles McAdoo for that kind of player makes a lot of sense.
Of the guys they got back, Nick York, Billy Cook, and Rinaldi Jimenez, the lefty for Martin Perez, who could be the most impactful player for the Pirates?
Who has the chance to be the most impactful player. I think he still has the
offensive upside. We lost you there for a second, Jonathan. Who did you say?
I said York. Mm. I think he's the one who has the chance to be, he still has the offensive upside to be an everyday player. I'm not sure what position, or maybe he moves around and he's in the lineup almost every day. But I think he can hit. And, he kind of refound what he was doing. I like Billy Cook. He's got an intriguing power-speed combination, but, he's 25. He's just hit AAA, but he's another guy also could be valuable because of the positional flexibility. He's played all three outfield positions well. He runs well. He's played second base. He's played a lot of first base this year. It's the first time he's done that, so he's added that to his resume. So I think he has the chance to impact the team soon. I mean, York will be in AAA also. You're going to see him probably play some center field in Indianapolis so they can see what that looks like. And he may impact the team this year as well.
Jonathan Mayo writes for MLB.com, MLBpipeline.com. He's appearing with us right now. You can see him at 93.7thefan.com, right between Paul and I. So, Jonathan, after basically 4+ years of tanking, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it, I'm really hoping that you say top five here, but I'm curious what you will say. Where do you, and they also, by the way, hoard prospects at every turn, and as we saw at this deadline, are very reluctant to get rid of them. Where do you rank the Pirates farm system across Major League Baseball?
We have to redo our farm system rankings. We're in the middle of re-ranking every list, folding in the 2024 draft class. So I don't know where they will be. They've been in the top 10, if not the top five, for a while now. It's thinned out some with some of these smaller trades, and mostly because guys have graduated to the big leagues. So like Henry Davis is no longer considered a prospect, and I know he hasn't produced at the big league level, but he would still be ranked pretty decently if he were still a prospect. So they're still top half, but I don't think they're top five at this point just because of the graduation rate and some of the guys that they've traded away.
When you look at who they do have, who's a guy or two, if they have them, in this farm system that every team in baseball would kill to have?
I mean, Bubba Chandler's the easy answer. He's the best, the best player right now. I mean, we'll be adding Connor Griffin, who's just signing today to the list, and I haven't figured out exactly where he slots in, probably behind Bubba to start out with. I think Bubba Chandler has a chance to be a frontline type starter. Now, obviously, the Pirates, they don't need a top of the rotation guy, but I think at this point next year, we may be talking about a rotation that is Paul Skeens, Jared Jones, Bubba Chandler, and Mitch Keller.
Mm.
Good. So I think Chandler, he's super athletic. He's still has upside because he's only been a pitcher only for a short period of time. This is a guy who also was a two-sport guy in high school. So he's still figuring out how to pitch. He's going to get bumped up to AAA very soon, I believe. And so either we'll get to see what he looks like in AAA. And I would not completely rule out that if the Pirates are still in the playoff race and they want to add maybe a bullpen arm, now short-term bullpen, long-term he's a starter, it wouldn't shock me if you saw Bubba Chandler or even Thomas Harrington make an appearance or two here in Pittsburgh before the year's over.
How about them apples, Paul?
Yeah. Well, what about Ashcraft? Because he's the name we've heard the most about.
Right, well, because he's had success at AAA, and he was ready. Then he got dinged up a little bit, so I kind of put him on the back shelf for now. And I think they got to make sure that he's fully healthy before they bring him to the big leagues. But yeah, another really good arm. There is depth in pitching, and at some point in time, if they really want to try to go big during the offseason, if there are some hitters that make sense. There are some guys that they could trade because obviously there's only so many spots in a big league rotation.
Jonathan, I'm looking at an interview you did last year, actually interviews you conducted last year around the draft with 29 MLB evaluators, scouting directors, cross checkers, all kinds of people. And I think we here in Pittsburgh may forget that it was very much, at least I think it was, very much a split decision between Skeens and Cruz, where a lot of people thought the Pirates were going to take Dylan Cruz. So tell me what people were saying then, what you thought the Pirates should do, and what you make of Skeens so far.
I mean, I would love to say that I was all in on Paul Skeens from the get-go because it would make me look really smart, but... You know, truth be told, last year's draft was a special draft, and there were five guys at the top, you know, who went in the top five, all of whom might have been the number one pick in this year's draft. I mean, so it was a very talented draft last. And you could have made the argument. I mean, listen, Wyatt Langford is a productive big leaguer already. You know, Dylan Cruz isn't there yet, but he's going to be very good. And I think you could have made an argument for any of them. I've gotten the sense in talking to some people with the Pirates, I haven't asked point blank, I think that Skeens might have been their guy from the get-go. They did due diligence on all the guys because, you know, you need to know about signability and things like that. And obviously, I've run out of superlatives to talk about what Paul Skeens has been this year.
Yeah.
I can't remember, as a baseball fan, having this much fun watching a guy pitch. Since maybe, I grew up in the Northeast since Doc Gooden. You know, and just in terms of the excitement, like, I can't wait for this guy to take the ball the next time because I want to see what he's going to do. And it's that same kind of like, any time out, this is the time that he could, you know, put a zero up in the hits column. And he's such a complete pitcher that he does it in so many different ways. That's what makes it all the more exciting.
You know, before the trade deadline, we heard a lot about how this was completely 100% a seller's market and how the prices for all these guys was going to be sky high and, you know, the returns, and there probably wasn't going to be a ton of trades because the returns were going to be so high, the asks are going to be so high and all that other stuff. I mean, as I look at what happened over the course of the last 2 days, it doesn't, and obviously you know much more about the prospects than I do, but it doesn't seem like the asks or the returns for some of these guys were nearly as high as we thought they were going to be. In fact, I read somewhere, and this was like maybe like 5 o'clock yesterday or something, that there wasn't a single top 100 prospect that was moved in any of these deals.
There ended up being two when all was said and done, both traded by the Padres. Now, both of those guys were pitchers who are not having very good years and are probably going to drop out of our top 100 when we re-rank. But there weren't. Yeah, the high-end guys didn't go. But I think the sort of other side of that coin is the fact that the players we thought were going to be on the trade market from the major league player side of things that would have fetched the elite level, those ranked play, you know, those top 100 types, didn't end up going. And I think some of it was the asking price for Garrett Crochet or Tarik Skubal, you know, the two sort of arms who were mentioned the most, were just way too high. I had heard repeatedly from teams that the White Sox were asking for the ridiculous amount for Garrett Crochet. And I understand why, because listen, they could do this again next year or during the off season, and you know, and they can, you know, they have him for under control for quite some time. So there's a lot of leverage there from those teams. So I think the asking prices were so high that it just was deemed not worth it. So, you know, there was a huge amount of activity, I think, in the overall trade deadline period, and we'll call that the month of July. There were 90 prospects that changed hands. Now, not all of them were ranked, and not all of them were like high-end guys, as you mentioned, but there was a lot of activity. So it was more depth and quantity on the prospect, you know, my world, the prospect end of things, than anything else. But I just think it was more the major league players that were attainable didn't need that kind of prospect return.
Few more minutes here with Jonathan Mayo, covers prospects for MLB.com, MLBpipeline.com. Check us out here on 93.7 The Fan. You can watch the proceedings. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So, Jonathan, I think it was Bill Walsh who said 40 starts, something like that. Maybe it was only 30, and you know what you have in an NFL quarterback. I would imagine a big part of your job is to track after you make all these prospect ratings, you know, what you were right on, what you were wrong on. I mention that because of Brian De La Cruz. I'm curious how you had him rated coming in and whether you think there's still room for him to reach his potential. I think this is really only his second full major league season. So do you think there's still room for him to grow? And when is it that you think that we can make an accurate evaluation of a major league hitter?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I don't remember where we had him ranked. You know, we split up teams, so I didn't do the Marlins rankings, so I don't have top of mind where he was. I do think there's still ceiling there. He's shown glimpses, and even this year, you know, there have been hints of what he can do, especially power-wise. And I think that he has the chance to get a little better. And the last part of the question, it can be a little bit of a trap, I think, just because we've seen guys figure it out at different times, or have a good year and then a bad year, and then they bounce back and they figure it out a few years later. You know, I think because it's such a results-oriented business, this rarely happens, but to me, you need to give a guy like 1,000 at-bats anywhere. Hopefully, I guess 1,000 at-bats in the minors, 1,000 at-bats in the big leagues. It's an arbitrary number, but I'm thinking 2-year, full year's worth of at-bats before I think you're you should be drawing any conclusions. And then sometimes a guy like that, you know, trades teams, or it's a new hitting coach. He reworks his swing. And look at what Nick Gonzalez was able to do. I mean, he was lost. He retooled his swing, and then suddenly he's a legit. So you never know when that can happen. So that's why I'm a little reluctant to draw that line in the sand too hard. You know, as long as you let me erase it and redraw it.
Yeah. One thing about the Pirates system, you know, you take Tamar Johnson out of the equation. I mean, where are the hitters in this? 5 years of hoarding prospects we've heard about. Tamar Johnson is a guy who's, what, 2 or 3 years away from being able to help them. Who in their system, I mean, where are these hitters at?
They've done a much better job at finding and developing pitching than they have hitters. You know, and you could look across Major League Baseball, and there are teams that do just the opposite. And I think that could bode well because the adage that you can never have enough pitching. So if you have pitching depth, then you can trade for the hitters. Now, whether they can make those trades, we'll have to see. You know, we'll see if Brian De La Cruz can, you know, maybe they kind of bought a little low on him, to your point. You know, some of the other hitters have not progressed as much, and there weren't as many to begin with. I mean, you know, I don't remember what my preseason rankings were, but it was very, very pitching heavy. Obviously, Skeens was at the top. You had Chandler, Solomito, Harrington, Ashcraft, who's, you know, made a nice jump forward, and on and on. So there've been a lot more on the mound from the get go. So it's not that there were highly regarded and panned out. You know, the jury's still out on Henry Davis. It's nice to see that he's been swinging the bat well lately. I'd like to see him get another chance soon. But they just have not had as many. So it's, I don't know that they've, you know, pardon the pun, swung and missed on drafting or signing hitters. It's just that they haven't had as many.
Well, one of the big stories this year you mentioned, Jonathan, and that's people still waiting here on a top overall pick with Henry Davis. So my questions there are, did you think that was a good pick at the time? And who do you think will be the bigger impact or have more of an impact as a major leaguer, Henry Davis or Endy Rodriguez?
Wow, Endy Rodriguez is like almost forgotten, right? Just because of the injury. That'll be like getting a trade back when he does come back. I don't know who will have the bigger impact. I think Endy has a better chance to be a regular catcher from a defensive standpoint. Like, I know that Henry Davis has worked tirelessly. I think he'd be fine. But I think when all is said and done, if they're both in the same lineup, Endy catches and Henry plays someplace else, you know, to be determined where that someplace else is. I think even if you're the number one pick, it's a hard game. Look, Jackson Holliday came up and struggled for the Baltimore Orioles. He's back up again. Now, younger, I understand it. That draft class was a weird draft class. There was not a guy or several guys like there was when they took Paul Skeens. So it was a year, it was the kind of year where, kind of like this year, where if you liked a guy and the Pirates really liked Henry Davis, and you could save money so you could then aggressively get some of these other guys, then that was the year to do that. So I think for that draft class, it did make a sense. Was he the prototypical top of the draft guy? No, but you can only draft guys who are in your draft class. And for that year, he was arguably the best college hitter, certainly one of the best performers, and a guy that was going to, you know, cut a deal to allow them to go and get some of those arms that we've already talked about.
Yep. Last question here.
I asked all my questions.
No, that's okay. Paul's out. So, Connor Griffin is the guy I wanted to ask about. What did you think of that pick?
I loved that pick. I really liked the Pirates draft class this year. It was a nice mix of going for high upside early with Connor Griffin and then Wyatt Sanford, you know, both overslot high school performers. Connor Griffin has a chance to be a superstar. And just all around tools wise, he has the best all-around tool set of anyone in this draft class. Now, there's more risk involved. Not everyone was convinced on the hit tool, but he had 4+ tools. Like, that doesn't exist. So I love that. And then even some of the college guys that they picked a little bit later on, they really kind of bought low and figured out this may end up being a very, very good draft class for them, you know, in terms of guys that they took later as well. So I liked the pick because I think a very strong argument could have been made picking 9 in this draft class. So strong college hitter draft. You could have taken a safer college bat, probably saved some money, and been aggressive later on. And what the Pirates were able to do was both, right? They were aggressive early. Levi Sterling also, didn't have a great senior year. For them to get him at slot value in the comp round, he's got a ton of upside, a really athletic two-way guy in high school. So they were able to kind of have their cake and eat it too in terms of what their objectives were. So they went big when I think a lot of people thought, oh, let's take the college guy who's going to get there faster in the Paul Skeens window, so to speak. And they didn't do that. They took the best guy on the board.
Jonathan, great stuff. We appreciate you taking all that time. People are very fired up around here, and that was very informative. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. Anytime, guys.
All right, we'll talk soon. Paul, you heard him talk about last year's draft with Skeens, and whatever anybody wants to say about Ben Cherington, positive and negative, there's both. That was a historic decision for this franchise that he made, and people should never forget.
Hold up. We won't know that for 10 years. I mean, it started out looking like that, yes, but we won't know that for 10 years.
Okay.
At least 6 or 7 years.
Well, I'll say this much. If he didn't take Skeens and Skeens was in Baltimore right now, every show would be about firing Ben Cherington.
Well, again, that's what we do.
Because he's the biggest star. There's Ohtani, Judge, and Skeens
We're in the immediate. Again.
It would look right now like he made the biggest.
It would look right now,
like
yes,
he made the biggest mistake
absolutely
in Pirates history.
Absolutely. But the only thing I object to use the phrase of some guy that sent me an email today, the only thing I object to is the idea that we know definitively that he made the right decision. Obviously, he made a really good decision right now. But you often point out, you know, the Cubs guys and, you know, even Strasburg to a lesser extent, although he did bring a World Series. I mean, some of the guys that to hear Jonathan Mayo talk, some of the other guys could turn into Hall of Famers as well. So
sure, they could.
We have to see. But I agree with you right now. But we're talking about the immediacy. To me, you know, there's the immediate after the day after the draft. Then there's maybe a year or two after the draft. But then there's 10 years after the draft, which is really the actual story that's written. That's all I'm saying.
That story will be written someday.
But you're right.
Right now, it looks like Ben Cherington made the right decision.
Yes.
And as
I didn't think it was a decision. I get what what they're saying, but I watched the LSU play, and I was like, man, that is who I pick every time, 100 times out of 100.
I said the same thing, but it was 50-50, and a lot of baseball thought the Pirates were going to take Cruz. And if Dylan Cruz right now, or if Paul Skeens right now was doing what he's doing for the Nationals, the Tigers, or the Rangers, Ben Cherington would probably, I would say, be fired after this season. Because the Pirates wouldn't be nearly as good.
Right,
Skeens changed everything. They would be a non-playoff contender. I'm very comfortable saying that. And we'd be looking at one of the three biggest stars in all of baseball in Detroit, Texas, or Washington. So for now, and now is all we got, I just want to remind people that Ben Cherington, I think, pretty obviously made the right call there. And it was either way, whatever call he made, it was going to change the trajectory of Pirate history.
Right.
So that's a biggie. There's the Skeens decision, and then much lower in a whole different compartment is every other decision that Cherington has made.
Well, I mean, if Paul Skeens was not the pick, this team is probably, what, five games under 500, considering they're eight games over 500 with him? We were talking about earlier.
Let's ask Dan Zangrilli next. He's going to join us to talk Pirate trade deadline. He was on, him and Jason Mackey were on yesterday on a deadline roundtable, and both mentioned De La Cruz. Let's talk about that next. We want you to come back with us after the break to talk more Pirates and Pittsburgh sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.